folks along the Mississippi River outside of Bemidji, they had opened a dam, and the increased flow of water caused the frogs that were nestled in the mud to get stirred up and moved, and they were floating, tumbling sort of aimlessly downstream in the current while they sort of recovered their senses and came to the light to the fact that they were no longer slumbering in the mud. They were being swept downstream and probably ended up in the belly of a fish somewhere. The time is 8 o'clock, and you are listening to KAXC. I want to tell you first that we receive support from Edward Jones financial advisor Christina Gallas, helping individuals and businesses reach their financial goals. More information at edwardjones.com. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
Thanks also goes out to Hot Tubs of Northern Minnesota and Middle School Avenue in Bemidji with hot tubs, pool tables, saunas, and more. Learn more online at hottubsmn.com.
You are listening to 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji. We are Northern Community Radio, telling the stories of the people and land of Northern Minnesota through music, news, conversation, and events. Operating translator K210DR in Brainerd at 89.9. Listen at KAXE.org or on your smart speaker. We need people like you to support this local media. Text the word donate to 218-326-1234. Thank you.
Coming up in this next half hour, Tornado Bob, big weather picture, and it is expected to, at least the National Weather Service is saying there's going to be some big weather moving on through. Bob will give us his take on it, and then we'll bring you more student phenology reports coming up before 9 o'clock when Headwaters begins with Malachi Coons. I do think we have time, though. You want to get to Chad Kaditz's?
Sure.
Little Falls report.
Absolutely.
Now?
Let's take one more here. Our next report, well, is, as you well know, funding for Phenology Talkbacks is provided in part by the Minnesota Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund. We thank them for their investment in this wonderful program. Talkbacks are produced by Charlie Mitchell. Our next report is from Chad Kaditz's class at Little Falls Middle School.
This is Natalie.
And Della reporting from Little Falls Middle School.
This is our phenology report for a week of November 23rd.
We had a report of coyotes yipping, howling, and barking very loudly in the evening. A classmate picked apart a rotten log and found a sow bug and a hibernating beetle hidden inside.
We were surprised to discover small flies and midges were still around even with colder weather, but they are few and far between. We had visits from opossums and flying squirrels this past week, and these quite nocturnal creatures are always a fun sight.
Numerous people have seen barred owls this week and a possible sighting of a great horned owl around dusk.
We have been seeing milkweed seed pods that are opened up and releasing their airborne seeds. We had our first sighting of a brown creeper as it probed for insects in the bark of a tree.
We had a surprising discovery of a giant water bug. We assumed that they were all done with their migration, but a classmate found one by her house. Rose bushes are covered in red fruits, rose hips, and we learned they are a source of vitamin C.
We are seeing a small layer of ice on ponds before school, but most days it has melted away by the afternoon.
Mr. Kaditz's feeder was very busy throughout the day with groups of 7 to 8 red-breast nuthatches and chickadees, and white-breasted nuthatches and juncos mixed in. Right around sundown, a pair of cardinals showed up. A small pile of corn kernels was dumped out for the squirrels, but blue jays made off with most of it.
That is our report for this week. Until next week, keep exploring, keep discovering, and keep connecting with the great outdoors.
Thank you, Natalie and Della. What a nice report. You guys have a wonderful teacher there, and he really places high demands on you, and you respond with some great observations. Small flies and midges still around. I saw a couple early last week. Possums and flying squirrels, nocturnal and always a fun sight. Barred owls, possible great horned owl, pretty exciting there. And then we get into some really interesting stuff. First of all, the giant water bug. And for those of you who were listening to the Daily Dose of Phenology earlier this morning, You may have heard me refer to the giant water beetle. Well, in fact, it is a bug and not a beetle. So my bad. We will get that corrected so that you are not misled. Not that it really matters, but it's a big bug. It's 2.5-3 inches long, and you will notice it if it comes by. Rose bushes are covered in red fruit, rose hips, lots of them. A good source of vitamin C, but not sour. Usually vitamin C, you think citric acid, and that is not the case with the rose hips. There's nothing sour about a rose hip. Nothing that I've been able to taste at any rate. Juncos, I haven't seen a junco around my house in a week or more. And right around sundown, a pair of cardinals showed up. Our good friend Janet and her husband Don, they live just down the river here, work hard here. Janet usually shows up when we need a little help around the office and doing some fundraising. And we thank them for that. But Janet sent me a picture of a female cardinal in their front yard. Pretty exciting. Nice splash of red in a otherwise not so colorful world. Blue Jays making off with most of the squirrel food, the corn. I had a really unique experience turkey hunting one year, watching Blue Jays out in the field picking up little kernels of corn that they found and then flying back and hiding them in the woods right around where I was sitting. I was all camouflaged and tucked in and being really quiet and still. And they were 8 or 10 feet away from me stashing corn. And if they had known I was there, they would not have done that. We will continue with our student phenology coming up in, another half hour, 45 minutes, something like that. We'll catch the last of our reports. We have three more to go, and we'll get those for you before the end of the 9 o'clock, or before the end of our program at 9 o'clock.
We've been asking you this morning our question of the week: what are you grateful for? You can text us at 218-326-1234. One thing we're grateful for are all the organizations and people around the region that are providing some free meals this Thanksgiving. You can get a free Thanksgiving meal tonight from 4 to 6 at the Salvation Army in Hibbing. And also tonight, beginning at 4 o'clock, volunteers in Pine River will serve a free Thanksgiving meal at the American Legion. A lot going on throughout the region on Thanksgiving Day, including at the Brainerd American Legion Post from 11 to 1 o'clock. There's delivery available for that free full Thanksgiving meal. And lots more we'll be telling you about as well.
Support comes from the Loft Events Center in downtown Bemidji, providing a multi-purpose event space that accommodates groups of all sizes, up to 150 people, for wedding receptions, business meetings, concerts, and more. Info about the Loft Events Center rates and packages at BemidjiLodge.com. We receive support from the Buckhorn on Caribou Lake, featuring 5 handcrafted log cabins in the Chippewa National Forest, just north of Grand Rapids, accommodating families in large groups on weekend getaways for couples. Rates and information at buckhornoncaribou.com.
How many times have you heard someone say, if I had his money, I would do things my way. But little they know that it's so hard to find one rich man in 10. With a satisfied mind, money can't buy back your youth when you're old, or a friend when you're lonely. grown cold. The wealthiest person is a pauper at times. Compared to the man with the saddest fine mind. When my life is over, my friends and my loved ones, I'll leave them no doubt. But one thing's for certain, when it comes my time, I'll leave this old world the satisfied mind. I'll leave this old world with a satisfied mind.
Mavis Staples there. Everybody Needs Love is the name of her song. That's off her latest release, Sad and Beautiful World. It's 8:12. Thanks so much for tuning in. We're going to be talking weather in a few minutes here on the Tuesday Morning Show. It's People Powered, KAXE.
We receive support from Oak Hill Assisted Living in Grand Rapids, providing personalized care in a home setting. More information at oakhillseniors.com. And we receive support from Klockow Brewing Company in Grand Rapids, making traditional old world styles of beer as well as modern classics for 8 years now. Their tap room is open Monday through Thursday, 3 to 8, Friday and Saturday, noon to 8, and Sunday from noon to 6. More info at klockowbrewing.com.
A few more places across the Northland that have free Thanksgiving meals. The Triumphant Life Church in Bovee hosts their 17th annual free Thanksgiving, and that's from 11 to 5 on Thursday. And a free Thanksgiving meal at MJ's Lodge and Resort in Penn-Gilly from 1 to 4. That'll feature a free will donation for the Nashwalk Food Shelf. And the Old Scenic Community Church in Big Fork is hosting a free meal on Thanksgiving from 1 to 4 o'clock. And Floodwood New Life Community Church is hosting a free public meal on Thanksgiving at noon. These are open and free to all. The Northwoods Chapel hosts their 5th annual community Thanksgiving. It's at 2 p.m. at the Sand Lake Community Center in Spring Lake.
I've been there.
And then we kick up so many different things going on this weekend as we start the official holiday season, I guess. We've got the Fish House Parade in Aiken on Friday at 1 o'clock, and there's a bunch of events before and after the parade. And don't forget, Friday is also free admission to Minnesota State Parks and some parades. The Bemidji, the Night We Light Parade is Friday at 6 p.m. right on Beltrami Avenue. And following the parade, you head down to the waterfront, and the switch is flipped to light up the town.
The switch is flipped.
Yep.
Flip the switch. All right. Well, I won't be there, but I'm sure they'll find somebody who's not afraid to walk up and flip the switch.
Downtown Walker has their Festival of Lights on Friday as well, with a parade at 5, tree lighting at 6. No mention of flipping this switch on that one, but so many different things going on, including the 44th Annual City of Lights event in downtown Nisswa on Friday. They have food vendors, the Polar Express Storytelling, Santa's Petting Zoo, bonfires, train rides, carolers, and fireworks.
Having this vision of the National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation with Chevy Chase putting the lights on his house.
Yeah.
Hopefully you have something simpler than what Chevy was operating there.
Yeah.
His looked a little bit askance. It wasn't quite the sort of thing that you'd like to subject yourself to. Although I do have places in my house that probably are wired nearly the same. Yeah.
Check out our webpage, kaxe.org. You can find the latest stories, including the Grand Rapids Library that is shifting to 7-hour days three times a week in the new year. But there is a fund set up to hopefully help the library open more. Nashwalk School Sale is offering one last chance at memories and mementos. Also, the fresh picks from our music team is available right now, along with information on our album of the week. Check it all out at kaxe.org. Here he is, Tornado Bob joins us in the studio. Morning, Bob.
Good morning.
Drum roll, please.
Yeah.
My friend Bob, I think as I would brand myself, Bob is a weather skeptic.
Yeah, you're right.
you and I, we share I think the avowed purpose and focus of the weather service is to scare the pants off you.
I'm going to defend the weather service. I think their snowfall forecasts have actually been pretty good the last several years.
Okay.
So don't disregard their forecast.
All right. They do have some science backing them, and I've always been one to respect science. It's always been, okay, if science says that's the case, then they probably checked it out, and until somebody comes along and disproves it, I'm going with it. So, but they do oftentimes throw in some awfully dire speech.
Maybe they do. Yeah, it doesn't look that dire to me. I look at the forecast and they say, well, yeah, you have to be careful with the roads and stuff like that, and make your preparations now.
The sort of things your father would say if you were leaving on a trip and going into a snowy area.
Sure.
But so you're skeptical, though, about the amount of snow, but they're still, I keep watching because I saw your post on Facebook. I keep watching to see if they're changing anything, and I don't see any changes on there.
Well, I think the most significant thing that's changed with the forecast is the Twin Cities are going to get hit tonight, just because the track of the system is gone, the forecast track of the system has gone a bit farther south with each model run. That trend has stopped now. I mean, I'm looking at the latest that I saw coming in this morning, and it looked like we'll still, if those pan out, we'll still get several inches of snow here in Grand Rapids. But if you get north of Itasca County, there won't be much.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because I thought that would be the most, the heaviest snowfall would be up toward, going up the shore, Two Harbors, Silver Bay.
No. The track has been a little bit farther south than we earlier thought.
And what happened? Is there has the cold air pushed down out of Canada faster, further? I mean, what changed the track?
And it has a lot to do with whatever comes out of the, there's a lot of stuff going upstream from us, like way out over the Pacific that determines how the waves in the atmosphere develop and propagate, which way the energy travels through the atmosphere. And it just happened to push the storm further south, and then it sort of manifests itself. You see maybe the cold air come down a little bit sooner. In fact, that's one of those things. If I looked at this forecast, the forecast for the system a week ago, or several days ago, maybe 5 days ago, it looked like we're going to get some rain moving in, this wave of rain. And then the cold air would stop, and then the cold air would come in behind it. Well, now the cold air is in advance of the system. It's, gotten back down into the lower 30s now, or say 34. And it started to, we're getting some flurries out there a little bit. Anyway, so it's, the cold air came in a little bit ahead of the system rather than behind it.
Oh, okay. I noticed looking out at things going on that the wind had picked up considerably since I arrived. It wasn't very windy at 5 o'clock, but I see the trees, the white spruce outside the window here is dancing a little bit in the wind.
Yeah, so the low pressure is intensifying over this southwestern part of Minnesota and adjacent parts of eastern South Dakota. And that will deepen as it moves kind of east-northeast in towards the Twin Cities, this area this evening, and then move into Wisconsin. And what you'll see today is it's already been snowing in the Dakotas, but it's going to be pretty slow to advance during the day today. We already have flurries now, but that might be the case most of the day. In fact, the models, I don't see the forecast indicating much accumulation until after about 3 p.m. in Grand Rapids. But that could be wrong. Maybe the models are having a problem saturating the atmosphere or something. It had earlier showed absolutely nothing whatsoever until 3, and now it's showing like very, very light precipitation until 3, and then it intensifies a bit more this evening, or late this afternoon and into this evening. So the latest amounts on these, what I'm seeing in most cases on the guidance is, 3 to 5, closer to 5 inches, but maybe, 3 to 5 in Grand Rapids. And then, but we're really still kind of on the northern part of the system. So if it shifts any farther south than it already has, then our amounts would be less. If it shifts back north, then we're going to, talking closer to 6 again. That doesn't happen too often. And the maximum amounts in the system, somebody could get 10 inches, maybe as much as 12, and that's most likely south of us, somewhere between here and the Twin Cities.
So McGregor, yeah. McGrath, Mora, somewhere on the M stretch there?
yeah, somewhere in that range.
Okay.
And farther east-northeast and west-southwest from there. In fact, if you get into Wisconsin, if you get towards Ashland, the Bayfield Peninsula, that far northern part of Wisconsin, it's quite conceivable that more than a foot would fall there.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, a little snow won't hurt.
No.
I don't know if you were listening. I can't get out on my lake, although I suspect that in the middle the ice is relatively thick.
Okay, you had a little bit of a thaw yesterday with 50 degrees.
The shoreline is, the lake is shallow. It has about a 18-inch layer of muck above clay, and that muck is dark, and any sunlight on that really tends to soften the ice on top of it. Dog went out. She got about 12 feet from shore and broke through.
Okay, the dog breaks through.
Yeah, I smiled and said, well, that saves me a trip.
Yeah.
I won't have to get muddy up to my knees. I just turned around. Well, I didn't turn around. I stood around and admired the lake and the ice and kind of wished I could get out on it. But
good. Yeah.
The day will come.
Yeah. The pond that by my house, there's a shallow pond, similarly mucky underneath in the water. It was at least 50% open.
Oh,
so it's a small, shallow pond.
And I know.
Unfrozen, unfreezing.
Yeah.
I didn't check anything else, any larger bodies of water, but there's moderate bodies of water that had a chance to freeze are probably, and have any depth beyond like 2 feet, probably are still frozen this morning.
Yeah. Lily Lake by the airport. I don't know how deep it is, but it's certainly not a very deep lake. My lake has one hole where it goes down to about 25 feet. Well, probably 22 feet now because the lake is probably 3 feet lower than it can be.
Wow.
Depending on if I have beavers in there or not. And I don't. And it's pretty obvious I don't because I've got 8-inch 6-inch popples growing right along the shoreline. And if there were beaver in there, those trees would be harvested.
They'd be gone.
Yeah. They would take those in a heartbeat. That would be really good food for a beaver.
Yeah. So today's the first day of kind of the transition of the weather pattern. We've been relatively mild, not certainly excessively mild, just been warm in November, warmer than average. The thing that saved us from having way above average is we've had a few mornings that have been calm and clear, allowing the temperature drop into the mid-teens.
Right.
And that has kind of saved our average temperature from going way up above what it has been. And we're only, I don't know, about 4 or 5 degrees above average for November, which these days isn't a whole lot for above average.
Yeah. Although I did see a couple of weather or temperature records set over the last couple of days.
High temperatures?
Sunday, I think Minneapolis may have reached a new high for the date. Maybe it wasn't Minneapolis. It was 56 degrees somewhere.
Okay.
And now, I might have had 59 degrees on Sunday.
Okay.
But that's at home, and, you know, mine are not protected in the way that that the Weather Service isolates their thermometer.
So we've had some record highs. I know the Twin Cities had 72 the week before last, on the Friday. So it's been warm, and now it's going to be on the colder side, but not that far below average. It'll be approaching. We'll have low temperatures approaching zero, or maybe if we get snow on the ground, it'll be maybe dipping just slightly below zero on a couple of these nights. But it's been kind of the transition that's been in the forecast for a while. Only apparent when it's actually going to happen until the past week or so.
Hmm.
Yeah. So expect beyond that, kind of a cold pattern. I think the longer range models are now showing it to be more of a tendency to be on the cool side as this pattern switches occurred. I was kind of skeptical of that. And we can go back. This is a La Nina winter, so they can still be pretty variable in temperature. And a majority may be slightly cooler than average, but some can occasionally be warm. We have the year 2011, 2012, where it was really warm, barely any snow. I think we hit 50 in January. I remember January days where there was just nothing on the ground. And then that spring we had record early ice out on a lot of our lakes. So that was a La Nina winter, surprisingly. And then so they can vary quite a bit. We can have some really mild ones or they can be kind of persistently kind of stormy, a little bit cold. It seems like the most remarkable ones are maybe when La Nina is a little bit weaker, not particularly strong. So we'll see how this one goes. It's not a particularly strong one. Suffice it to say that the climate model, the long range models, the ones that are are kind of run in an ensemble fashion a month out or so, they're kind of tending to predict a little colder than average and a little above average precipitation, which we could certainly use.
Yeah.
Although above average precipitation in the winter is still not a lot of precipitation.
These are dry months.
Yeah, these are our driest months climatologically, but in recent years, the summer months are getting to be that way.
Yeah.
Like August, September.
Yeah.
Pretty dry the last couple of years.
So it sounds like John still has a chance to get ice before snow for some ice skating.
Yeah. So once this system passes, we'll get some wind, and it's kind of hardwood, and there's a lot of wind to freeze the lakes. And then we'll get some several days of calmer conditions. So by the end of this weekend, I think, keep your fingers crossed, you could be out there skating around in some places.
I've got my life jacket and my picks and my skates all set, ready to go. So
yeah.
I just got to grab them and head out.
Yeah, good.
I'll make sure.
And then if you're traveling around Thanksgiving weekend or you're doing travel, there is another system that's going to be coming through the central part of the country. If you're traveling to the south, let's say maybe the far southern Minnesota, across Iowa and Missouri, later in the Thanksgiving weekend, if you're coming back, say Saturday or Sunday, there's going to be some snow down there. So it could be kind of a feature of this winter that with a lot of the storms, just seeing that, just sort of a bit more snow farther south than they've had for the several winters. Like I think last winter, the city, you know, the Twin Cities hardly had any snow. We had quite a bit more than they did, even though we didn't have much.
Which is a switch, because we've had winters recently where the cities seem to have gotten more heavy snow than we do.
That's not terribly unusual. It seems like their distribution of snowfalls tends to be a little bit, if you look at the average snowfall size, they maybe get fewer. It snows a lot less frequently than it does here, but when they do get something, it's a bit larger than what we have. So if you have a big system moving through like today, it's almost, they don't really ever miss those.
Yeah.
It's rare for them. In fact, I can think of some cases, but yeah, they usually get at least some of it. And it's like, this might be a typical day where they get it about as hard as we do. And then maybe in between is the maximum of snowfall. That's a pretty common scenario.
Yeah.
And so it could be, they'll do a little bit better this winter, I think, than they've done over the past two.
Looks like we're going to have, if the Weather Service is to be trusted, looks like we're going to have first sub-zero temperatures coming up in the next week.
Yeah, that's a pretty good bet, especially if we get some snow on the ground. Yep.
Why will the snow have an effect?
It's a better radiating surface than the ground is.
I see.
So if you put ice crystals, you know, if you put
something white on the ground, the less insulation.
Yeah, and insulation. Yep, keeps the heat from, I guess, getting up into the atmosphere from the ground. So it acts as an insulating barrier, but also acts as a good radiating surface. So it radiates heat away pretty effectively under a clear sky.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm ready. I know where my gloves are. I know where my boots are. I know where my skates are. Turn me loose, boss. How about skiing?
Skiing? Yes, we will be, the snow guns will be turned on at Mount Itasca later today when it gets a bit colder. That snowmaking hasn't started yet. It's kind of hard to start when you're just looking at a few hours of below freezing weather at night. It takes an hour or two to start the system up and an hour or two to shut it down. So
then the expense and the water and rest, and you'd hate to spray it out there and have the sun come along and melt it away.
Exactly, because we had 50 yesterday. So we'll see below average or sub-freezing temperatures during the day, so that'll help. And once you get about 5 inches of snow on the ground, especially if it's kind of a dense, wet, heavy 5 inches, then the groom, you know, for me as a cross-country ski groomer, I can get out and start grooming the trails, or we can pack them down a little bit, so that any less than that, you kind of have to be on the golf courses.
Yeah, we didn't talk about that, but what kind of a snowfall is this going to be? Is this going to be a wet heavy, or is it going to be a light fluffy?
It's going to be kind of a little bit more towards the wet heavy side.
Okay.
I'm seeing the ratios here a little bit fluffier than 10 to 1.
Okay.
So if it's, we have like half an inch, let's see, if we have 4/10 of an inch of liquid equivalent, we'll have maybe 5 inches of snow with that.
All right.
Kind of like that.
So all right.
Not super dense, but as you go farther south, it will be. It'll be pretty wet and then followed up by a quick freeze. So if you're south of here, you'll be in pretty good shape for the cross-country ski groomers getting out and packing the trails. And
I'm going to the cities for Thanksgiving, so I'm laughing at my odds. I'll be fine.
Okay.
All-wheel drive and snow tires, so I'll make it. But the roads could be icy.
Yeah, they will be. Yeah.
So drive accordingly.
Thanks, Bob.
Thanks for having me.
Tornado Bob brings us the big weather picture on Tuesday mornings. We love hearing from you. A lot of folks weighing in on our question of the week, what they're grateful for, including Kathy Davies. She says, thanks to you, the team at KXE and KBXE, for announcing last night's trombone choir concert at Bemidji State. My 94-year-old mama and I thought it was great. Would not have known about the concert without hearing on local radio. And John, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation is our family's favorite movie. We'll watch it this weekend to get in the spirit.
My grandson was watching Home Alone. And he's at an age, like approaching four, where, you know, repetition. And so the scene where Judd Reinhardt is starting down the stairway to go to the basement and he slips on the ice, he is laughing uproariously even before he slips. Yeah, there are plenty of great Christmas movies out there.
That's right.
But Christmas Vacation is one of my favorites.
Coming up next, we've got local news.
For KAXE News, I'm Larissa Donovan with the Up North Report. Teams from Minnesota are assisting in a search for a missing man near the Boundary Waters Canoe Area Wilderness. The St. Louis County Sheriff's Office says it was contacted by the Ontario Provincial Police to assist in a search of Lake Lac La Croix near the U.S.-Canadian border. Canadian authorities are on the lookout for 47-year-old Peter Buckle, who is last known to be using his cabin on the Canadian side of the lake. Searches by Canadian authorities located Buckle's boat and a campsite on an island in U.S. waters after checking his empty cabin. St. Louis County Sheriff's Office and Rescue Squad assisted with air, water, and land searches over the weekend, but as of Monday afternoon, Buckle had still not been located. The Grand Rapids Area Library will be open 3 days a week next year after budget cuts forced a significant reduction in staff time. Megan Buffington has the story.
Patrons can visit the library Monday through Wednesday from 10:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. starting in the new year. That's 15 fewer hours than the current schedule. The City of Grand Rapids has long funded the majority of the library's budget, but it says it can't sustain that level of funding and needs to make cuts amid rising costs. The city asked Itasca County to increase its funding to help offset the impact of the cuts, but the county board said no. Library Director Amy Detmer says she worked with staff to come up with the new hours.
We're the experts here. You know, we've been working with the public for many years, and we feel it's the best fit.
It was especially important to be open Mondays, as that's when the most books are returned and when most people need in-person assistance, like help with the printers or passport services. Despite popular demand, they opted not to be open on Saturdays because Arrowhead Library System and City Services are only available on weekdays. City Councilor Molly McGregor is leading a fundraising effort to offset the library cuts for 2027. The goal is to raise $300,000 by September, when the city's budget discussions begin. In the first week, they raised about $1,000.
So we only have $299,000 to go. Really, I just wanted people to put their money where their mouth is. Everybody was saying, well, raise our taxes, and that's a very complicated and involved task.
Donations can be directed to the Grand Rapids Area Community Foundation's new unrestricted library fund. The city and county budgets aren't finalized until they host their Truth in Taxation meetings in December. Megan Buffington, KAXE News.
The first snowstorm of the season is predicted to fall on the Northland on key Thanksgiving travel days. The weather system will move west to east, with snow predicted to begin falling on Minnesota Tuesday morning. Heavy snow rates over a 2 to 5 hour period Tuesday could reduce visibility to less than half a mile in northeastern North Dakota and northwestern Minnesota. Northerly winds of 25 to 30 miles an hour combined with moderate to heavy snow rates will likely lead to blowing snow. As the weather system moves east, the Duluth Weather Office predicts the lake effect will extend snow impacts into Wednesday and Thursday. After the snow moves on, a spokesperson for the Duluth office says temperatures will plummet.
We're looking at high temperatures only in the 20s with lows in the teens to single digits. And this much colder air mass is going to moves in on Wednesday and then lingers through at least next weekend.
About 3 to 6 inches of snow is expected to fall over much of the state, and amounts exceeding a foot of snow are possible on the North Shore. The United Way of Bemidji area is coordinating 2 toy drives to spread holiday cheer this season. Registration for the Bemidji Toy Drive is due by December 4th, and toy donations will be accepted through December 8th, the distribution day where families can select toys for children from infants through teens already registered, is slated for December 11th at the Sanford Event Center. While Bemidji's toy distribution is open to families living in Beltrami, Clearwater, or Hubbard counties, the United Way of Bemidji area is also coordinating a toy drive for the LaPorte community. More information on how to donate or how to register is available at KAXE.org. That's it for the Up North Report. From the KAXE News Desk, I'm Larissa Donovan, telling the stories of northern Minnesota through local news.
The Up North Report on KAXE is sponsored by Woodland Bank, dedicated to serving local businesses, families, and nonprofits in our area since 1920. You can find more information online at woodland.bank.
For John,
I never noticed how.
Fawns jump, fox kids play,
a bald eagle perches,
pink color hits,
a murmuration of birds cover the sky in a flapping of wings.
I'm mesmerized.
Excited to watch.
Sometimes the littlest things are best.
Noticing the clouds.
The wildflower in my backyard.
The changing leaves.
The hidden mushroom.
The birds singing their usual song.
My backyard holds generations.
All the little things gather into one big thing, a season.
When I was small, I didn't notice.
Now I ask questions. I pay attention.
I look delicately.
I welcome the spring's first heron.
I say goodbye to the fall's last dragonfly.
I have a whole new way to see the world.
Those are the students from Prairie Creek Community School, way down south in Northfield, part of the Phenology Program with John Latimer. This is KAXE. That never gets old.
Oh, it doesn't.
Oh, gosh.
That's amazing. Amazing.
Yeah. It is true. I mean, it's a bigger thing than just reporting on, you know, seeing some frogs or doing this kind of thing. It's like you're training your brain to pay attention.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
We just heard that there's some flurries coming down in Bemidji. Grand Rapids also has some flurries. I don't even know if I'd call it that, though. You can barely, unless you squint, you can't really see it. But it's been coming down a little bit, but nothing on the ground here. It's kind of variable on what's going on, but the main thing is keep a watch on the forecast where you are, and roads may be slick. We are still under a winter storm warning or advisory around our region, and that remains in effect until noon tomorrow.
Support for programming comes from Sanford Health. With primary care locations in Bemidji and across the upper Midwest, Sanford Health is committed to providing care close to home. Learn more at, sanfordhealth.org.
So many things happening this week, including the Heartland Lakes Community Tree Lighting is Friday at 6 p.m. in downtown Park Rapids. Many local businesses will be taking part in a Yuletide sampler that evening, and you can find Santa and Mrs. Claus at Bella Cafe.
We receive support from Lake Country Power, a Touchstone Energy Cooperative committed to community and giving back through scholarships, youth programs, Operation Roundup, and more. Lake Country Power, made by the community, for the community. Programming is supported in part by the Judy Garland Museum, located on Highway 169 in Grand Rapids, featuring Judy Garland's 1920s childhood home and a gallery of Judy and the Wizard of Oz memorabilia, including the original carriage from the film. Visitor information is available at judygarlandmuseum.com.
The 16th annual Brainerd Turkey Run is Thanksgiving morning. It starts at 9 from the Brainerd Armory. Proceeds benefit Shriners Hospitals for Kids. Run or walk 1 mile or 5 kilometers. Find more info and register at BrainerdTurkeyRun.com.
I saw a flock of turkeys, well, 4 turkeys yesterday on my neighbor Marvin's patch. And if you could run like a turkey, you would be in the Olympics because a turkey can flat out get it going.
Oh
my goodness. Watch one run across a field sometime. Mm-hmm.
It reminds me of the Looney Tunes Roadrunner.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure he'd like go by the Roadrunner going, meep, meep. Out of the way, small time.
Now, John, here, how many turkeys would you have to see together to call it a flock?
Oh.
You said four.
There were four.
But then four.
Yeah, I don't think four is a flock.
Okay.
I guess six or more.
Okay.
Greater than six.
I mean, I don't think there's an official thing on that.
No, probably not. Okay. I mean, they're not going to come and haul me away, maybe.
Well, there's
not for,
other things
not
going
for
on.
That.
Yeah. You got some things out there in the law.
Well, you know, the statute of limitations has run out on most of my wild youthful activities, and now I've gotten to an age where it's hard for me to misbehave with the same
vigor?
Passion and vigor that I once had.
We've been asking for folks on this Thanksgiving week to tell us what they're grateful for. And today, especially for nature, we heard from Pam from Rockford, who said R.W. Emerson's essay on nature. And she's got a quote here. Standing on the bare ground, my head bathed by the blithe air and uplifted into infinite space, all mean egotism vanishes. I become a transparent eyeball. I am nothing. I see all. The currents of the universal being circulate through me. I am part or particle of God.
Wow.
Thanks,
yeah.
Pam.
Emerson really hit away.
Mm-hmm.
I have a copy of his collected works, and every once in a while I delve into it just for the restorative nature of it.
Yeah.
Support comes from Beltrami Electric, a Touchstone Energy Cooperative with a mission to provide safe, affordable, reliable electric service. Beltrami Electric Cooperative, connecting communities and powering life in northern Minnesota for more than 80 years.
Got a few more phenology nature reports to bring you from students around the state of Minnesota, and funding is provided in part by the Minnesota Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund.
Our next report comes from Justin Steffen's class at Linwood Elementary School.
Greetings from the fourth grade phenology team in the Linwood School Forest. This is Evelyn, James, and Lydia, reporting on our observations from the week ending November 25th.
This week we observed that the power company came and trimmed our walnut tree. Mr. Steffen saved a few branches to observe the buds in the classroom. We are staying tuned to see what might happen.
We also observed that there are not many green plants left in the school, in the forest. Our Norway pine and white spruce remain mostly green, but seem to be losing some needles, especially if you shake the branches.
We also saw a plant in the forest that looked like a long green straw. We learned it is called a horsetail or equisetum, and it is a prehistoric plant that uses spores instead of seeds to reproduce.
That is all from the Linwood School Forest. And remember,
there's no place like Linwood.
That's right. There's no place like Linwood, and all phenology is local. Evelyn, James, and Lydia, thanks. Great report. I love the fact that when the power company came to trim the walnut tree, they brought some branches inside to look at the buds. And, you know, they might be able to force those buds by dropping them in a bucket of water and just see what develops. You just never know. We do a program in January where we go out and collect branches from many bushes, and we look at them as they develop buds. We time them, and we examine the buds as they develop so that when we do move into spring, we have reference for our observations. Not many green plants left. Norway and white pines, white spruce, mostly green. The needles that come off of those when you shake them are probably the three-year-old needles. That's the nature of the evergreens. And then the long green straw. Horsetail or equisetum. My guess is it's equisetum hymale, the one they call scouring rush. Very lovely and bright green right through the winter. Our next report comes from Cassie Korsendorfer's class at Rockford Middle School. Speaking of Rockford.
Charlotte
and Amelia from Miss K's 6th grade class at Rockford Middle School.
We are reporting on the week of November 13th through the 20th. Our temperatures have been pretty mild, in the 40s and 50s during the day and in the 30s at night.
On November 14th, we had a high of 67 degrees.
It felt like a spring day, but most of us are really looking forward to some snow. We've had a mix of sunny and cloudy days.
The tamarack trees are golden and have started to drop their needles. About 65% have lost their needles.
There's way more roadkill this month than previous months.
Last Tuesday, the northern lights were here. Beautiful shades of green and pink. Hazel saw snow flurries at 10:05 on November 19th, previous Wednesday.
We've seen a lot of possums this week, and we've noticed a lot of bugs inside near lights.
Miss K went on a walk and she saw tamarack trees, and under the tamarack trees she saw many pine cones that looked like roses.
One of our classmates saw foxes in their backyard. The sun has been settling in earlier in the night, and in the morning we saw the sun brighter.
A few aster flowers are still in bloom in our school prairie. Sprinkles of purple
amongst
the brown.
There has been way more coyote sounds and sightings.
The lilacs are still in bloom, but not as much as last week.
We'll see you next week. Bye.
Thank you, Hazel, Charlotte, and Amelia. Nice report. You know, you realize that phenology is local. They are looking at tamarack trees that are just in the middle of dropping their needles. Our tamaracks are pretty bare up here. Lots of possums. We don't get very many possums this far north. And Miss K underwent, or underneath the tamarack, found the little mini pine cones. Those would be tamarack cones. And they do look like little roses. So get out there and have a look. And in the springtime, when they first emerge from the branches, they are a deep purple. They're lovely. Some asters still in bloom down there. Sprinkles of purple among the brown. That's kind of a lovely idea. And a few lilacs still in bloom. I had a note from my friend Stephen Carlson down in Minneapolis or St. Paul telling me that the lilacs were still blooming and putting out leaves in his yard. Our next report comes from Michelle Martin's class at Prairie Creek School in Northfield.
Hi, this is Anna.
And this is Sam.
And we're from Prairie Creek Community School,
way down south in Northfield, Minnesota.
Well, Sam, it was pretty quiet week down here.
Several people saw deer. Oscar saw a 10-point buck.
Some of those deer were close to the roads.
Be careful out there.
There were eagles reported by Amelie and Caroline.
Letty saw a white squirrel.
Hugo noticed there isn't as many birds by his cherry tree.
Our Merlin hasn't caught as many either.
All the leaves have fallen except for a couple trees of the oak trees.
There are still box elder bugs out, but not as many.
Didn't you find some woolly bears?
Yes, 2 weeks ago. Ellen, Hank, and I saw 3 woolly bears together under a log.
We learned that gathered together in a leaf litter is one way they try to survive the winter.
This has been Prairie Creek.
One more step along the phenology journey.
Thank you so much, Anna. Sam, lovely report, as always. Oscar saw a 10-point buck. I'll bet you there are a lot of people listening this morning that would have loved to have seen that same deer and gathered it for their freezer. Eagles were reported. Letty saw a white squirrel. Hard to say if it was a gray squirrel or a red squirrel, but an albino for sure if it was white. Not as many birds. The Merlin is not catching as many. I would expect the Merlin to be heading south where hunting might be a little bit better in the next couple of weeks. The oak trees still had a few leaves. Woolly bears.
I thought they meant the Merlin app for some reason.
No. Let's see if I read it as the, and our Merlin hasn't caught as many either. Oh, okay. Perhaps that's what they meant. Yeah, Merlin is an app that you can put on your phone that will identify birds by call, and it is free. And if you are interested in learning more about birds, Merlin is a great place to start. It's
Cornell Lab of Ornithology.
That's it. Yeah, thank you. So check them out. Absolutely. If you have the opportunity, put it on your phone and use it. It's really quite surprising how accurate it is and how useful it is. I find it really quite nice. Our final report this week comes from Dan Winkler's class at Caledonia High School in Houston County.
Hi, this is Will Jason Blake reporting from Caledonia High School in Caledonia, Minnesota. On November 21st, we noticed the first snowfall on November 8th, possibly the last 60-degree day on the 15th, and the northern lights on the 11th.
For the plants, we noticed pine cones are still hanging on the white pine trees, and there's no other new plant observations.
For the animals, along the Mississippi, we still have pelicans. Tundra swans have returned. Within the last week, we saw leopard, frogs, and garter snakes near streams.
There's still a great blue heron on the Mississippi River. This has been Will Jason Blake reporting from Keldon High School. Never stop questioning.
Indeed, never stop questioning and always be observant. Yeah, thank you, Will Jason and Blake. First snowfall on the 8th, possibly the last 60-degree date on the 15th. I'll bet you they were pretty close to that this last weekend. Northern lights on the 11th. That's surprising. Caledonia is a long way south. And to catch northern lights down that far south is probably pretty unusual for them, and especially as intense as those were. Pine cones still hanging on to the white pines. Pelicans and tundra swans, both are migratory. Both will be heading south, and both are fairly white birds. So very cool. Leopard frogs and garter snakes still active down there. And a great blue heron along the Mississippi River. It ties in with my note of a great blue heron. Let's see. The latest I had a great blue heron up here was in 1989 on today's date. So most of the great blue herons are probably closer to Caledonia than to Grand Rapids. I want to thank all of the students for all of their hard work to get these reports into us. It is a joy to hear your voices and to share your observations. It really, really makes for wonderful radio. Thanks.
We just heard from Richard Thoyne. He was listening earlier when we played that poem from years
ago.
Oh, past.
Yeah.
He said, oh, you guys, that archived recording of the school children's phonology report from way down south in Northfield, priceless beauty, all capitals, yeah. Takes my breath away.
It sure does. Yeah. Yeah. Thanks, Richard. Appreciate the note. We receive support from Rapids Brewing, a place for gathering and community featuring live music multiple times a week, farm fresh food, and rotating beers from their brew house. More information about their events, music, and menu available at rapidsbrewingco.com.
And thanks goes out to Woodworks Homes, dedicated to the art of building in northern Minnesota by constructing handcrafted new homes and offering remodeling services. More at woodworksmn.com.
We receive support from the First National Bank of Coleraine since 1906, serving the needs of the community and working with their friends and neighbors with branches in Coleraine and Grand Rapids. More information at coleranebank.com. Member FDIC.
Coming up at 9 o'clock, it's Malachi Coons for Headwaters, followed by the World Cafe, and then DJ Ironsides, our volunteer, at 1 o'clock for On the River. Sarah in tonight at 7 o'clock for On the River.
Pretty good chance of snow today. Be careful out there if you're going to be driving around in it. Hopefully you'll keep it on the road. Support for KAXE comes from Lady Sippers, N.A. Bottle Shop, located in downtown Deer River, Itasca County's only N.A. Bottle Shop, offering ready-to-drink options, ingredients for craft cocktails, gifts, and more. Info available at ladiesippers.com.
We've got some special programming coming up for you this week, including today on Headwaters, a conversation with Dave Simonette, who will be in concert at the Rife Center in Grand Rapids this Saturday. And then on Thanksgiving, 9 o'clock, a tribute to Todd Snyder. At 10 o'clock, it is Thanksgiving Blues with Full-Time Blues Radio. Make sure you stay tuned. The morning show on Thanksgiving Day, we've got staff librarian Tammy Bobrowski talking with BSU faculty member Mike